is what brings us together today.
Ah, marriage, raising kids, building a family. Those were the things we dreamed of.
Tuck your daughter in!
Always!
Just calm down.
I've given you the best years of my life.
Take out the trash!
Yeah, I'll get to it.
I want a divorce!
Welcome to Thrive with Pastor Brad Digney, diving into what it means to thrive, not merely survive in marriage, parenting, and family life. And now your host, this is Pastor Brad Digney.
Oh, we're going to head back into a subject that I dug into in some previous shows, but it is so much at the center and the heart of what marriage is about, and really what every relationship on earth is about, that it's worth circling back and digging in some more. Because I thought it'd be great to dig into this while I have Vicky with me. Because we've really got to answer Tina Turner's question, what's love got to do with it? Got to do with it. Woo!
I think he missed his calling. What do you all think?
What's love but a secondhand emotion?
Mm-hmm. That's what he wants.
Which indicates
to do.
Very often the world has gotten so broken and so disillusioned by chasing after it. Her song went to number one, but it was actually a pretty sad song.
Mm-hmm.
Where she was saying, this just ends up breaking your heart. It's an emotion that I actually wish I did not have to traffic in so often. But when you turn to God's word, you find that this is what holds together all relationships, both vertically. I hope you hear how we keep going there. It's your vertical relationship with God that's based on love. He loved us first and we love him back. And then it's your horizontal relationships, and these things are held together, yea, verily, caused to thrive when you know what real love is. So you're listening to Thrive. I'm your host, Brad Bigney, and I've got my wonderful wife, Vicky, here today.
Hello, Thrive family.
To talk about this. So no better way to kick it off than going to God's word. And I hope you've picked up on that by now. We use the Bible. Not best-selling books from the New York Times bestseller. I learn things from places like that. Certainly not turning my radio on and deciding what I think about love. Oh, when you want to know anything in our world, but especially something as critical as love, you better turn to the Bible. Because very often it'll say a few things that you're like, uh-huh, I thought that. And then it will say a lot that you if you were honest, you'd have to say, I was not thinking that. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Oh, it's that chapter that gets read so often at a wedding. It's that chapter that gets calligraphy, handwriting in a frame hung on the wall. It's that chapter that sections of it or verses end up on coffee mugs. Problem? It doesn't end up often enough in the trenches in real time with marriage.
Funny story about that.
Yeah?
I actually... just as you're reading that, thought about that. I actually bought a cross-stitch thing on 1 Corinthians 13. It was beautiful. I think I got a fourth of the way through it. So what does that have to say about love? I didn't even finish it.
That right there is an indicator. Yeah. It is tough. When you start going through the actual passage, yes. So sweet Vicky just bailed with her little
needle.
Mainly
because we had so many kids. Like, they just kept coming. I'm like, okay, there's no time for
cross-stitch.
You're
like, I don't have time to cross-stitch.
And when I finally do have 5 minutes, I don't want to spend
I'm trying to live it.
Yes.
Oh, listen to what it says. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. If I speak in the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I'm a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I have prophetic powers and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and if I have all faith, these are a lot of things that we'd think, that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
So as to remove mountains, but have not love. He doesn't even say next, you don't quite have it. Oh, it's worse than that. I am nothing. If I give away all I have, and if I deliver up my body to be burned, but have not love, I gain nothing. So he's saying, you are nothing. You're not as great as you think. And you don't gain or get what you think you're getting if you don't really understand and put into practice love. So now he's going to help us out. Verse 4, love is patient and kind. Love does not envy or boast. It is not arrogant or rude. It does not insist on its own way. It is not irritable or resentful. It does not rejoice at wrongdoing, but rejoices with the truth. Oh my, listen to how he ends this. He ends it with just soaring and climbing the heights to places where we would struggle to go. Love bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never ends. Whew. Any initial thoughts just hearing that read, Vicky?
Wow, it's a lot to consider.
Yeah. You know, just, I love how God's word very often will go and he'll start. This is what I love about the Bible. It's so evident that he knows us. The author of this book gets us. Why? He created us. And so the Bible often starts off by framing up and clarifying what we usually think is the big deal,
mm-hmm.
and then blowing it up.
Yeah.
And then when he begins to unpack what the real deal is, it so often to us sounds small.
Right.
Small mind. If you think about that list, patient, you're like, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Kind, what? Is not irritable, what? Everything sounds like a small thing. Guess what? Not a small thing. Your marriage and where you are is comprised of dozens of little things,
mm-hmm.
dozens of little interactions with each other. Now, here's what I love about the original language the Bible was written in, Koine Greek, is that you can get greater clarity and insights because they had multiple words for the same thing, unlike English. And so there were four Greek words for love, eros. That's erotic sexual love. Storge, family love. Philia, brotherly or friendship love. That's where we get Philadelphia, the city. It's the city of brotherly love, friendship love. And then the granddaddy of them all, agape. This is godlike love. All four are found in Scripture. And all four, you can find references to them in different passages that are trying to help us understand how could our relationships become better? Because in our show, we're trying to figure out how do you go from, we're on life support in this marriage, or we're on life support in how we relate to our kids in our home. And we don't want to just survive and hang on. We want it to thrive and to flourish. So Vicky and I are going to walk through in the next several shows, unpacking each mm-hmm. one of these loves. Let's start with eros. Huh. As soon as I said that, I'm sure you thought, whoo, I know about that.
Mm-hmm.
Erotic sexual love. Now, let me start by saying this. God is not against that. Sometimes there's two ditches to fall into.
That's true.
And we act like, because the world has so abused that, so exaggerated that, so overemphasized that, I want nothing to do with it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a place to go. And later in some shows, Vicky and I will touch on and unpack what the Bible says about sexual intimacy in marriage. But I hope you can appreciate. I've been doing counseling for over 3 decades. No one usually has sexual intimacy as their main problem.
Right.
But it's often a first casualty mm-hmm. of other problems in their marriage. So that's why
I could almost say 100% of the
yeah,
time.
I haven't seen an exception yeah. yet. That's why I hope you're not saying, why haven't they talked about sexual intimacy? Why haven't
we're
they talked?
We're going to get there.
Yep. Because so many other things feed into that and support that. And when they're not in place, eros doesn't go well. But our world just jumps in right there. Even like Tina Turner's song that I was kind of mocking a little bit. She's indicating in her song, if you listen carefully, that the sexual part is all it's all about. I'd rather keep my heart out of it and guarded because that's where you get hurt. Woo. So we're not done with it, but the world makes way too much of it. Thoughts on that, Vicky?
Yeah, I think like you said, mainly that's when you talk of love, that's what our society, you know, mainly focuses on. And I do think, you know, from working with younger couples and singles, you definitely should be attracted to the person that you're going to marry. I mean, that's pretty normal, but don't just think, okay,
yeah,
you know, they're a hard worker, they're, you know, godly, they're growing spiritually, I'm just going to marry them. I'm not really attracted. Yeah. That's not really fair to you, and it's not fair to them.
That's the way I like to say it is human beings have a tendency to overcorrect.
True.
And so, boy, you don't want to make the mistake of thinking that is so abused, so exaggerated, so magnified. Mm-hmm. I'm just going to find myself a good woman, a good man, a faithful, loyal, hard worker. I feel no sexual interest or desire. Mm-hmm. Don't do that.
But then also, you don't want to fall into the other ditch. Like, you know, they say they're a Christian. I see no fruit. But man, I am so attracted to them. I cannot wait to get naked with them.
So from working with other women, do you believe that someone could have the sexual desire part towards someone and it not be who they should marry?
Right.
Oh, yeah. Right.
I mean, I'm sure you have too.
I've seen the same thing because it is such a big part of our hard wiring. He made us sexual beings.
And you just think, it'll work out.
Yeah. If that's all you've got firing off and alarm bells ringing and sounding about sexual desire, you need to tap the brakes and say, wait a minute, there needs to be more. We're talking about love. And we're talking about the different versions of love that the Bible brings us. We're going to take a break, and I hope you're going to want to come back because we're going to dig into Eros a little more, and then we're going to start talking about storge, family, love.
This is good stuff this week, folks. This is really good stuff. I hope you're paying attention. What love is, what it isn't. Not going to get this in a whole lot of other places, especially with the transparency that you get from Brad and Vicky. We'll be back with more from them in just a moment. Now, I don't know what your home looks like right now. Maybe things are good. Maybe they're quiet. Maybe they're not quiet at all. I don't know. But when you're in one of those places, it's not always the big stuff that breaks you. Sometimes it's the little stuff, the two-second look, the offhanded tone. I'm telling you, that's where marriages start to drift. It happens, and we've all been there, which is why I want to point you to something that we built for you right now, Fortis Plus. If you haven't downloaded Fortis Plus yet, what are you waiting on? It's free. You're not going to run into a paywall. You're not going to be asked to subscribe. It's a free app, and every day we're adding more and more content. It's already full of hundreds of hours of content, and we're slapping more up there every single day. So wherever you download your apps from, whether it's on your cell phone or on your TV, talking Roku, Apple TV, Fire Stick, all of those TV devices, you can find Fortis Plus and you can find it absolutely free. And here's the thing, there's no catch. Most of the time when you hear things that sound too good to be true, they typically are, not with Fortis Institute. It's free today because people like you, that's right, people just like you decided, I want more people to hear this content farther, all over the world. I want families to hear this. I want couples to be able to find hope again. We call you guys gospel partners, and they're the reason that Fortis Institute exists. They're the reason you're hearing this right now. So if you're in a place where you could join us as a gospel partner, I invite you to do so. Now, I want to be clear because I say this every time I tell you about becoming a gospel partner. You must be giving to your local church first. That's your first priority, is your local church. If you're not giving there faithfully right now, get that cleared up before you give to us. Don't give to us if you're not giving to your local church. Go to FortisInstitute.org right now to see what it would look like in your life to join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner. FortisInstitute.org. And whether you can join us as a gospel partner or not right now, you can definitely be praying for us and you can definitely download Fortis Plus. All right, let's get back to Brad and Vicky now as they continue to talk about love. This is Thrive. Welcome back to Thrive.
You're exactly like your mother.
Are you kidding me?
Life with you was joyless.
And now back to your host, Pastor Brad Bigney.
All right, welcome back. We just began talking about the four different loves in the Greek language. And we touched on eros, sexual or erotic desire. And how our world makes far too much of that. But we don't, there's two ditches to fall into. They make so much of it, I'm going to diminish it and act like that doesn't matter at all. But it's certainly not where you want to start. Would you agree, Vicky? You don't start there. That is quickly there, I find, with lots of relationships.
Yes.
And so as you're moving through our world, deciding, even like I think about how often someone begins to feel this sexual erotic love towards someone who's not their spouse.
Exactly.
And then they're convinced, I am feeling something that I actually don't even feel for my spouse right now. So this must make it right. Mm-hmm. Oh, listen to me. That doesn't make it right. You have the capacity to have erotic sexual desire feelings for someone other than your spouse. And you have to believe God's word that he's telling you no.
But I'll tell you one thing. If you're feeding that in your mind and even in person, you're not going to have much sexual love for your spouse if you're actually feeding that in your mind. This coworker, wow, he's so friendly. He's like with it.
Yeah.
He's together versus my husband who, you know.
Here's what I would love for you to understand right now, if you're listening, that the people you actually live closest with are the ones that can most easily, that sexual erotic desire part can be diminished either through disappointment, through hurt, or I hate to say it, just familiarity.
Exactly.
So often that sexual, oh, wow.
Right.
Is being fed by it's new. Even I hate to say it, it's naughty. It's across the line. That makes it more exciting because I hope you realize your heart and your flesh is still sinful.
Yeah.
So this whole business, go with your heart. If I went with my heart, I would be all over the place.
We would all be in really bad places. I mean, really.
If you'd gone with your heart at every moment and gone with every feeling you had, would we have the kind of marriage we have now?
I'd probably be on my eighth or ninth husband.
Yeah. And that doesn't offend me. I'm not like, oh, you mean there's someone else that she desires, that she has moments where she thinks, ooh, yeah, me too. And you got to know what you do with that. I say, oh, no. But we're going to talk about some of the other loves that the reason you're not feeling that as intensely for your spouse is very often because you haven't kept cultivated some of the other loves, or I hate to say it, even begun to cultivate the other loves.
Yeah.
Because sometimes here's the problem, right?
Yeah.
Two people, boy, girl meet, or sorry, not boy, girl, young man, young woman meet, and all that was there, like boom, that erupt, and that's all that was there.
Right. And you so marry
them. Oh, and so they head into marriage.
Right.
And then real life hits you in the face. Now you've got bills. Now you're living at close range. Now you're seeing what you don't like. Now you've been disappointed and hurt a bit. And all of that impacts erotic sexual desire feelings. Mm-hmm. And sometimes people think the answer is, and the world acts like it is, oh, I need testosterone shots now, or we need a sex technique book, or we need this, that, or the other that would ramp up the erotic part. Mm-hmm. And you may hit a point in your life, later in life, where certainly you may need some physical help from a doctor. There's certainly things, just like everything else about our bodies, that begin to struggle. You can struggle, but early in the marriage, it is not usually that you have a physical problem that has diminished that desire. It's that other things aren't in place that should be in place.
It's almost like there's, you know, when you have unresolved conflict, you just shove it under the rug and, you know, it's almost like vomit under there. It smells, it's not good, but you just keep, you're not even sure what to do with all that. And I think that's kind of where we were earlier in our marriage. And that's why I really like this show, because I'm hoping to, people can see, how do we get the vomit out from under the rug? Like, you just can't keep putting all these bad things and unforgiveness under there and hope for a good outcome.
Yeah.
So that's where we're trying to, as Brad says in counseling sometimes, which I think is a great word picture, it's like a big ball of yarn. Like I have a big blue ball of yarn that my grandson loves to play with. And it's like you're gradually unwinding that. There's so much mess.
Gnarled up ball is comprised of multiple individual strands. Yes.
Right.
And you got to start pulling those out one by one and say, how did we get here?
Right.
Why do we feel this level of unhappiness? What happened to my desire?
It wasn't just one single, usually not. It wasn't just one single event. It's lots of small decisions, even daily, that you're making.
And this didn't happen overnight. It happened one interaction at a time, one incident at a time. One hurt at a time, one misunderstanding at a time.
It wasn't resolved.
Because Vicky certainly didn't marry me and say yes with no desire for me and no feelings for me.
Right.
But you've heard us say in the show, within the first 2-3 years of our marriage, she looked at me and said, I don't love you anymore. Mm-hmm. Now, I think what you meant, you can clarify if you'd like, is you didn't have the feelings you had initially anymore. They were gone.
They were so gone.
They were crushed. They were dead.
Yeah.
And by God's grace, she was choosing to still move forward with me. Mm-hmm. But I'm actually grateful that she was honest with me right there at the doorway of our trailer as I headed to choir practice, because it did get my attention. I thought, really?
Finally.
That is where we have arrived. Mm-hmm. That's what can happen.
Right.
So the feeling part, the erotic part, the desire part, that is so often fueled and fed and kept alive by so many other things. Mm-hmm. It's not just there and will be always there or not there. And I don't think this would offend Vicky.
I
might have
wait.
Mentioned it in the show, but I didn't start with erotic sexual love mm-hmm. with Vicky. I had her in the category of friend.
Right.
That's not who she was.
Both of us did.
Yeah. And that's where she started. Oh, he's a friend. Oh, she's a friend. You know how you have the friend category. And then you've got others that immediately it was just like, oh. And that's not where I started with Vicky. But that's where I moved over time. Take note of this. A friendship, a genuine friendship, is a fantastic starting point mm-hmm. for a great marriage.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean every friend you have should become your spouse.
Right.
But you need to consider, it's not just it could never be. That's no one I should ever marry.
Right.
But that began to grow with me. Any other thoughts about Eros?
Well, I think, like I said before, you should be attracted to this person. But, you know, and we'll get into this later in the role of the husband and wife. But, you know, look for someone that's going to be, obviously, knows Jesus and you see fruit in their life. Hard worker. They're going somewhere.
So for someone right now not married that might be listening.
Right.
What should you look for since we've kind of dismantled? Please don't make it just sexual desire.
And those are things I would have thought when I was, you know, 18 or 19. But I tell you two more I've added in my list. Do they cause drama out of simple everyday situations? You just want to run. If there's someone that every situation is just ends up being drama and they're not talking and they're upset. And something else that I just think is, are they teachable? Not perfect.
So high drama.
High drama, and also, are they teachable? Are they willing to change, and are they willing to be flexible and bend? If they're not, then wow, that is going to really make for a hard marriage. Now, if you're married to someone like that, then hopefully we can help you work through some of those things.
So please know, we're not giving you a list, and if it's like your spouse is like this, you have permission to leave them. Our hearts go out to you. So sorry. I hope some of the other things we're saying in these shows can help you.
Mm-hmm.
We're just touching on right now, perhaps a listener that is not married yet.
Right.
Avoid high drama. Avoid doesn't seem teachable at all.
Or willing to change
or
be
bend.
Flexible. I mean, it makes it very hard. And also,
let me touch on that, because we're in a culture right now that it seems like, I assume if you're listening and living right here in America, you see it too, that it's become all about truth, truth, truth. And there's no gray. It's black and white. And what I think is the only thing anyone should think. And so the illustration I'd like to give you is a spine supports the body. It truly does. And it's important. So truth is important. I hope you're someone who has a body of truth, certain things you believe, and they better be based on the Bible. But the person, think about someone who's had to have surgery because of back injury, and there's now a rod in their spine and they can't bend. It is not the kind of life God intended.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm seeing now.
That's a good example.
Young and old. And it's almost like you're too young to be that opinionated and stiff and fixed.
And it's just not real. It's just not realistic. That's just not
so
how it
So I appreciate
operates.
How Vicky used the word bend.
Right.
That is important. That doesn't mean compromise.
Right.
It means you know what you believe, but everything isn't a hill to die on.
We're talking about
secondary issues and third issues.
Right.
It's like, can you bend?
Right.
And I'm seeing more and more, and I think online has just thrown gasoline on it.
Because people find their tribe to communicate with.
So unfortunately, people, I believe, are finding a tribe, and it's delusional because you think everyone thinks what I think.
Mm-hmm.
They don't.
Right.
And when you get on there, because of the algorithms that Google created and wrote, they'll just keep giving you more of the same. And you might think, I am a wonderful man or woman that stands for truth. I know what I believe. You will not relate well to other human beings.
And once again, don't hear what we're not saying. We're saying biblical truth from God's word, stand on, but not what kind of music I listen to or those types of things.
Yeah. Knows truth, believes there's a truth. I want to embrace truth, but love leads me to bend, to prefer,
flexible.
To flex.
Right.
Oh, we're talking about what could move your marriage from barely alive or any other relationship in this world to starting to thrive. And love is at the heart of it, the right kind of love. And the Bible talks about every level of love that we need. And it started with God's love for us. He's not asking us to do anything he hasn't done for us. And it's not just past tense, anything he's not still doing for us. Love could be the thing that's keeping your marriage from moving forward.
This has been Thrive from Pastor Brad Bigney, a production of Fortis Institute. Our website is fortisinstitute.org, and it is your central hub for all things Fortis. If you've enjoyed Thrive with Pastor Brad Bigney, would you please consider subscribing and sharing with your friends and church family? Also, would you prayerfully consider joining this labor of love by becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner? And until next time, go serve your King.